Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
True or false? Walmart has eye care. True. Stop by Walmart to save and browse top designer frames right where you already shop. And they accept most insurance. Welcome to Easy Eye Care. Welcome to your Walmart.
Hello and welcome back to Highway to Hoover, a production of SEC Extra at D1Baseball.com. I'm your host, Joe Healy, joined today by David Eckert of the Clarion Ledger. We're going to talk Ole Miss baseball as the Rebels come off of a big, kind of a gotta-have-it weekend series win against rival Mississippi State. I think that is the definition of a series that you had to have for a number of reasons. We will get into that and just kind of generally how we've ended up here with Ole Miss baseball. There's a lot to get into there with David. We will do that in a second. But first, I have to let you know that this episode of Highway to Hoover and every episode of Highway to Hoover is brought to you by PitchLogic, the system used by players, coaches, scouts, and instructors at all levels of play from youth leagues to the big leagues. The easy-to-use and affordable technology makes the platform accessible to every player at every level. All the metrics and features used at the highest level. See PitchLogic.com for more information. First off, David, I appreciate you joining me today. I learned, incidentally, that today is your birthday, so we appreciate you spending a little bit of time on this, your day of birth, with us to talk Ole Miss baseball. I appreciate you joining me.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't have conceived a better birthday gift than making my Highway to Hoover debut here, Joe. So I'm very excited.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me, David. Let's jump into kind of the most recent result. Obviously, that's the series win against State. I alluded to it. I'll just like clear the paint and let you run an ISO here. Like, was this truly the textbook definition of a series that, like, you gotta have for Ole Miss?
Yeah, definitely. I think for, you know, more than one reason, right? I think for emotional reasons, right? Like, this team just needed an emotional lift. Before you even get into, like, the SEC standings, the record, the RPI, like, this is, like, they were miserable. They looked miserable. So, you know, they just needed a pickup, and they got one. I think that the way that the wins came really mattered too. You look at that Saturday night win, they erase a 4-run eighth inning deficit, come back twice in extra innings. Like, you know, that's a jolt. And then obviously they, you know, have a really emphatic run rule win on Sunday. So for that reason alone, you know, because you were starting to feel a little bit 2023 about this, where I think, obviously, that team had better pieces than the finish last in the SEC, but the negativity just kind of snowballed, and it got to a point where it wasn't salvageable. And you were starting to feel a little bit of that way about this team. So it was important for that reason. And then you look at the SEC standings, right? Like, they're 5-10. That ain't pretty, but it's a whole lot better than, you know, 3-12. So, it's just for pragmatic reasons alone. You know, the RPI isn't super ugly if we want to start talking about that. And so, yeah, huge for a lot of reasons. And like you said, they had to have it for sure.
Yeah. Mark and I talked on our episode we did earlier this week about how that opened up the path for Ole Miss, like the path to like have the discussion of how this could go moving forward, you know, because you mentioned the RPI is in decent shape if you keep winning games and, you know, 5-10. I mean, look, Tennessee was 5-10 last year and we saw where they ended up, right? Like, obviously not saying that's the end result here, but it does show that like, it can be done from that kind of position. Let's talk big picture though. Why are we here? Meaning like in a position where Ole Miss like absolutely had to have a series win in mid-April against Mississippi State.
Yeah, I think it starts with the rotation. Things have not gone to plan. it looked, you know, you look at their starting three, their weekend starting three, it's completely different than the one they started the season with. So that tells you something. You know, I think they thought they had some fixes kind of midway through the season. Those fixes didn't really work out in recent series. So it's kind of the same issue as what they had last year, is they had some starting pitching injuries. And it hasn't been super easy to find elite replacements for them. I think that they hope that they found serviceable replacements for them. But it hasn't been easy. And then, you know, you look at, you know, a lot was made of the four kind of offensive transfers, position player transfers that they brought in. Really, they've gone, you know, to this point, 2-for-4 on those guys. So, you know, it hasn't been like this murderer's row in SEC play that maybe allows you to overcome some of those pitching deficiencies. So, you know, and they've got a big hole behind the plate, especially defensively, that's cost them some games. So, yeah, they've got problems, like, but I think they have the pieces to maybe get over the hump if things break right.
Yeah, you mentioned it starts with a rotation, and that's kind of been something I've thought about, and it strikes me, and you weren't on the beat for all of this period of time, so I'll just kind of ask you to talk about it in the current moment. But, you know, it strikes me that we're in a situation where, okay, JT Quinn's hurt, like, let's take him out of the equation. But, mm-hmm. you know, Grayson Saunier, they were looking to make him to make a leap. But then you look back in previous years, and it's kind of a similar story with Jack Doherty and Derek Diamond, mm-hmm. and like Jackson Kimbrell. Like, there does seem to be this line of pitchers that Ole Miss has had that come in as freshmen with some acclaim, and they show some things early, but there's never quite, doesn't feel like there's that next step. Now, we're not that far removed from Doug Nikhazy and Gunnar Hoglund being in this rotation, so it's not like we're talking mm-hmm. about, you know, 10 years spent in the desert. But if you want to pinpoint something as like, this is a real problem that's holding the program back, it seems like that might be item number one there.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, you look at, again, just kind of looking at the last couple of years, right? I think they've been forced to ask more of these talented kids earlier than they would like, through situations that are out of their control, right? You know, you look at last year, obviously you lose Hunter Elliott for the season, you know, maybe around the halfway point, somewhere in there. That matters, you know, that's, and then just underperformance from the guys they thought they could rely on. So, yeah, I mean, JT Quinn, you mentioned, obviously injured, but I don't think they were getting what they had hoped for before that injury from him. You know, and then you touched on Grayson Saunier. Again, these are young guys, right? So there's obviously room to grow. And I think in an ideal world, maybe they're not plan, you know, plan A. But Ole Miss went into the season without Xavier Rivas, without Hunter Elliott, as we mentioned. And, you know, plan A hasn't worked, and so they're scrambling. But, you know, I think they've really found something in Liam Doyle, who had transferred from Coastal Carolina. I really like him. It hasn't been great for him the last couple of times out, but I really like his stuff. Throws really hard from the left side, just really good, I think, mental makeup. And then Riley Maddox has been really good for them as well. And the last couple of weekends, they've brought Mason Nichols in to pitch on Sunday, and he's been great. So maybe they've found something. We'll see. But again, even if they have, right, now you're taking resources from your bullpen, and, you know, it's the last season was the same. It's just kind of started this chain reaction that's really difficult to stop. So you're right. The absence of elite SEC arms, I think, has been a serious problem.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break from our discussion to hear a couple ads from our sponsors.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for yourself, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Hey guys, Conan O'Brien here to tell you about some of the stranger things we've been doing recently on my podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Recently, we had an episode where I sat down with some of the writers that I worked with on Conan O'Brien Must Go. That's my travel show on Max. And we talked about everything that goes into those shows and a lot of very insane anecdotes from our travels and adventures. There's another episode you might want to check out where I discuss with my physician, Dr. Arroyo, about my experience on Hot Ones. We talk about my near-death experience and his complete inability to help me because he may or may not be a real doctor. That's just some of the stuff that's been going on, and if you feel up to it, check it out. So catch up on all things I've been up to on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, wherever you get your podcasts.
True or false? Walmart has eye care. True. Stop by Walmart to save and browse top designer frames right where you already shop. And they accept most insurance. Welcome to Easy Eye Care. Welcome to your Walmart.
If you want to bring coziness into your life, you turn to Barefoot Dreams. Now celebrating 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams is the originator of everyone's favorite Luxe Home blanket. There's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's favorite things list 6 times. Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as its ultra-soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are each made with premium materials. Get 15% off your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code PODCAST15.
Let's look at last weekend and kind of extrapolate out. What from the series win to you feels like kind of an aha, like this feels maybe a little sustainable. Mm-hmm. This feels like a hint at maybe some things to come. Cause I look at it as an outsider, someone who watches plenty of Ole Miss baseball, but not nearly as much as you do for your job. Mason Nichols, at least being a serviceable guy, yeah. A guy who's pitched in Omaha, a guy who Team USA experience, like that strikes me as like there might be some limitations on what he is as a starter. However, like he's not a guy who's going to use a metaphor that I hear scouts use all the time. He's not going to go out there and set the stadium on fire, like as a negative experience. So that stands out to me, but you tell me like what feels sustainable from the series win that actually might continue this run moving forward.
No, I think you nailed it. For Ole Miss to have 3 weekend starters who you can depend on to be okay is a huge win. I think you're going to keep seeing Mason Nichols on Sunday. And look, even in the SEC, you know, there's not every program does not have a guy who you can throw out on Sunday and say, hey, go give me 6 and give up 3, you know? So if Mason Nichols can keep doing that, that's a huge asset. But then I guess offensively, Jackson Ross maybe hasn't been awesome in SEC play. I thought he had a really good weekend, and then you really saw, I think, Ethan Leje kind of make a star turn. He's really, I don't think, being talked about nationally. I don't have his numbers up in front of me, but that guy is just raking. He's gotten some big hits and big moments. Ole Miss they've had good offensive players this year. They haven't had like stud all SEC contributions. And I think, you know, maybe if they can start getting that from a guy like Leje, who's, you know, I think he's hitting over 370. He's got 11 homers, is getting better in SEC play, which you don't always see. And has been a problem for this lineup the last couple of years. That's something you can extrapolate. To hit 3 homers in a series, 4 extra base hits, have big hits and big moments against Mississippi State. Like that's something you can carry forward, I think.
Yeah. You mentioned, I'm glad you brought up Ethan Leje, cause I had it on my list to ask you about just quickly to clean it up since I do have the stats here in front of us right now. Beautiful. Overall batting, batting three. Look, I'm a pro, David. I don't know what you want me to tell you. batting 354 with a 453 on base, 693 slug. So that's, you know, 1100 plus OPS there, 10 doubles, 11 home runs in SEC play. You know, still batting over 300 in SEC play with five home runs. And obviously that when you consider the quality of pitching, you will certainly take that. What do you think's been behind his jump this year? Because last year it just felt like it never really came for him. And I kind of like, I'm not afraid to say this. Like I thought at the end of last year, like, that seems like a miss. Like maybe he's not on this team in 2024. Like, you know, maybe he's just not a guy, but here he is like leading the offense and you know, he's not Kemp Alderman, but you know, he's obviously done a really nice job. So what's been behind his development and that's allowed him to be this good?
There's actually an interesting offseason story with him. You know, he had kind of said, you know, Mike Bianco had kind of said, hey, like, we're bringing in Andrew Fisher at third base, which is where Leje had played last year. Like, you know, we don't necessarily know exactly what your role is going to be. And he came back anyway because he wanted to win. So, you know, he's moved to left field. And I think that's helped him. I think something that really hurt him last year was he made a bunch of defensive mistakes at third base really early. And, you know, baseball is a confidence game. That starts happening to you, you know, it has the potential to bleed into other areas and it has the potential to, I think, cause a long-standing confidence problem. And there is no lack of confidence for Ethan Leje this year. I mean, it's just, he's been great. So I think the position change has helped. You know, obviously another year in the SEC is only beneficial. And, you know, he just looks like he's having fun. So, you know, I think really just kind of a nice concoction of take a breath. We know that you're a good player. Here's a position where you're comfortable has led to the results that you're seeing.
Much like Bo Nix, he's relaxed out there. He's having fun. That's an internet joke for all you people who are very online in the SEC. Bo Nix is having fun. But no, I mean, jokes aside, like, yeah, that is a good story because, again, that's not always the way that goes. You know, player hears, I'm not going to get to play my position because players get provincial understandably about I'm a third baseman or I'm a shortstop, whatever it is. And so to not say, oh, I'm just going to go find some place that'll let me play third base. Like that would have been really easy to do. And look, he's an SEC player. Yep. He could have played at any number of quality, you know, Sunbelt teams, right? And been a dude on those teams, you know? So to stick it out, play a new position, like that's the type of stuff college coaches always talk about of like those players are the types of players that are hard to find. The guys who are willing to make that kind of sacrifice and you know, really put in the work. So let's set the defensive part aside of this. We will talk about the catching position defensively here in a minute. So Ole Miss fans who are listening, trigger warning for we're going to talk about the catching position here soon, but a good weekend for Campbell Smithwick. Like, is there, am I being overly optimistic to say that like, maybe we're starting to see something from him that maybe things are starting to click at least on the offensive end?
Well, he was playing right field, Joe, and I think that had something to do with it, you know, again, like, and I think this is probably more, I guess there's more weight to this with the catcher position than maybe other, like, hey, worry about the offense, you know, and that's a huge weight when you're talking about a catcher. So, yeah, I mean, he took some good swings. Ole Miss loves that bat, like, loves that bat. So, you know, if they can keep throwing him out there in right field and he can keep swinging it, obviously that's a huge asset for them because, you know, that's been Trayson Hughes's spot, a transfer they got from Mercer. He hasn't really lit it up. That's kind of been a lineup hole for them. So, hey, if you can chuck a guy who you know can really hit the baseball into a position where you're not getting a ton of production, then, you know, that's obviously a huge help.
Yeah. Virginia a few years ago had a catcher who they really liked offensively, who might have been was better off in right field, at least to start, and his name was Kyle Teal, and that worked out pretty well. So there is, you know, it is a thing that the teams will do, especially because catchers are typically inclined to have pretty strong arms, so you can kind of stash them out there. Let's talk about the catchers now. Where are we with the catching position? Like, what is the state of play as we sit here on April 16th, 2024?
Yeah, so Ole Miss has tried three different catchers, the first being Smithwick, Eli Birch, and now Trenton Lyons. This is all of their first year at Ole Miss. Birch had a junior college year, I believe, and Lyons and Smithwick are freshmen. So three young guys behind the plate who are just, they're really having a hard time, Joe. Like, just balls coming off gloves that are, you know, should be caught. Just basic pitches in the dirt that you would expect a Division I catcher to block, and it's not happening. You saw, I think, Mississippi State be really aggressive on the base paths. Kentucky in particular, and this is kind of their thing, but, you know, Kentucky just terrorized them. So it's a problem. And it's weird for it to be a problem with a Mike Bianco team, because Mike Bianco, obviously, you know, catcher himself, always has great catchers. They don't have a veteran, and they're just, I think, kind of throwing some stuff at the wall and trying to find something that's working, and nothing has. It's been tough for those guys.
Yeah, that's got to be, you mentioned there a little bit, but that's got to be the single most frustrating thing that could happen for Mike Bianco, right? To mm-hmm. not be solid defensively. I mean, for so many reasons, right? One is his history, his personal history, but also the history of that position at Ole Miss, right? You know, you're coming off of Hayden Dunhurst, and, you know, I could sit here and go through the lineage, but that has to be one in particular that, you know, has Coach Bianco gritting his teeth in the dugout.
Definitely. Look, I mean, you know, there are probably, you know, they might have two more SEC wins if they could, you know, play competent defense at catcher. Seriously, you know, it's been a huge issue. For all the reasons you just mentioned, his history, you know, even Calvin Harris, like, you know, that's a guy that managed to play effective defense, if not outstanding defense, back there while he mashed the baseball. It's you know, they just don't have it. And maybe you can second guess and say, hey, maybe you needed a veteran transfer at that position, even if Smithwick was your first option, kind of as a fail safe, but that's a hard sell. Right. So I think they were kind of just in an awkward position there this off season, because, hey, come be our second option in case this kid we really don't like doesn't work. What we really like doesn't work is not, you know, a sales pitch that I think a lot of guys are going to appreciate. So they were in a tough spot, and it just, you know, it hasn't worked out.
Let's to wrap up here. Let's go with a little bit of a pie in the sky thing, David. Like, tell us, you know, if this series win last weekend was the start of a run here, and we get to Hoover, and you and I are sitting there talking in Hoover, like, wow, this team's going to make a regional. Like, I would have never thought. Like, what do you guess happened that allowed that to happen if we get to that point?
All right. So I think if we arrive there, I think Liam Doyle is an ace. You know, I think Riley Maddox and Mason Nichols are nice arms. I think the only one that has the potential to be, like, true bona fide SEC ace of that group is Liam Doyle. So I think he has that growth. The other two guys are solid. And then I think, you know, the middle of the Ole Miss batting order is just murderer's row. You know, and I think it can be. You know, you look at Andrew Fisher, Ethan Lejay, Jackson Ross, who I almost call Jackson Dart every time I say his name, and it's a problem. But I think for those three guys to just be outstanding and win baseball games on their own, which I think they can do. They did that in non-conference play So I think that's what you're getting if you arrive in that scenario. And then you're going to need some younger guys in the bullpen to be effective. Because like we talked about, you've moved all of these resources around to the point where I think your bullpen, I wouldn't call it depleted, but it's probably not as fully stocked with quality arms as you would like. So, you know, Austin Simmons, speaking of Ole Miss quarterbacks, who is also a talented left-handed reliever for them, you know, I think he's going to have to be important. Josh Mallett, you know, they're going to need some growth from guys who we haven't seen as often, maybe a Wes Mendez, to kind of get them over the line and close out games effectively. And it would help if they could catch the baseball behind the plate, John. That would be.
Yeah, that might be a positive development. And look, you know, most of that doesn't sound crazy, right? I mean, that's not, you know, some of that stuff is like, okay, you know, will Liam Doyle be a top third of the SEC ace? Like, but like most of that stuff doesn't sound ludicrous, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it just goes to show like there's talent here. The path is there. It's just a matter of getting it done. And that's of course the hard part, right? This, the actual getting it done. But if you're an Ole Miss fan, I think though, like I'm not going to guarantee anything, but like there is a path here that I don't think we necessarily saw just a couple of weeks ago. So things have taken a turn for the better. And it's just a matter of if last weekend was a one-off or the start of something else. And we won't know until they take the field again this weekend. So.
Yeah, and you look at the schedule, Joe, real quick. I mean, the next three SEC series are against teams with losing conference records. So, and then, you know, obviously Texas A&M is a huge obstacle, but you got LSU who's struggling. So I think four out of their five remaining series are manageable. So we'll see. You never know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this time of year, you know, if you're an SEC team really going through it, like, hope and light at the end of the tunnel is the only thing you're really looking for if you're going through it. And Ole Miss has it now. And that's, I think, the big mm-hmm. picture benefit of what we saw last weekend. David, I appreciate you joining us today. That's, again, David Eckert of the Clarion Ledger. I'll let you get back to whatever birthday plans you have, David, that does not involve, because Ole Miss is on the road, he will not be spending his birthday at Swayze. So you will have to, all of you listening will have to wish David happy birthday belatedly somewhere else down the line. But David, again, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, many thanks. We're going to spend it obsessing over the football transfer portal because Lane Kiffin exists. So
that's right. That's right. Come to the SIP, as they say. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, no problem. I realized I said thank you for joining us as if there's someone behind me. I don't know why I did that. That's a weird little verbal thing. But anyway, that is going to do it for this edition of Highway to Hoover, a production of SEC Extra at d1baseball.com. Thank you to PitchLogic for sponsoring this and every episode of Highway to Hoover. Thank you to David for joining us, and thank you, the listener, for listening. We'll talk to y'all soon.
The Highway to Hoover podcast is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Hey guys, Conan O'Brien here to tell you about some of the stranger things we've been doing recently on my podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Recently, we had an episode where I sat down with some of the writers that I worked with on Conan O'Brien Must Go. That's my travel show on Max. And we talked about everything that goes into those shows and a lot of very insane anecdotes from our travels and adventures. There's another episode you might want to check out where I discuss with my physician, Dr. Arroyo, about my experience on Hot Ones. We talk about my near-death experience and his complete inability to help me because he may or may not be a real doctor. That's just some of the stuff that's been going on, and if you feel up to it, check it out. So catch up on all things I've been up to on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend wherever you get your podcasts.